like your ska music? Then listen to the Scarpones Sound Off podcast. Pick it up. Scarpones of go.
Together, we'll be just fine. We'll jump the hurdles, both yours and mine. Fulfill our promises, all that we must. And then it comes, the betrayal of trust. You try to forgive, try to forget, but the pain still lingers, it hasn't gone yet. The cut that you have just won't heal. It's betrayal of trust. It is so real. Despite the protest, it's all done sly. Unheeded warnings, promises turn into dust. And then it comes, the betrayal of trust. You try to forgive, try to forget, but the pain still lingers, it hasn't gone yet. The cuts that you have just won't heal. It's betrayal of trust.
Welcome to this week's, should I say this week? It's the first week of the Scarpone Sound Off podcast with me, Paul Willow. And I'm with us. Oh, it's been a long week already. And it's only, what day is it? It's Tuesday. Okay. Yeah. And I've got Kev with me. Kev plays bass, don't you, Kev?
Yes, I do. Badly.
Oh, no, you don't. Don't be hard on yourself. How are you doing, my son?
I'm all right. Chewing the fat.
So,
I just had me tea, so I'm all raring to go.
What did you have?
What did I have? Pizza and chips.
Pizza and chips. I have beans on toast with a poached egg on top and cheese.
flash kit.
Almost culinary skill.
That's right middle class, that is. Right middle class, that is.
I do tell. I didn't have any spinach, though. So, for those that don't really know, obviously the world's been destroyed by the COVID-19, and that includes the music scene and industry and stuff like that. It's hit us as well, but it's hit you a bit more, hasn't it? It's hit you a bit more.
Yes,
you've been in lockdown a lot longer than we have.
Yes, the northeast down to south, the border of South Durham and Teesside were restricted to one household anyway. Darlington and Teesside generally were still on the rule of six. But I think it was from the Northumbrian border down to the South Durham border, we were all locked down to one household anyway. And you're just now in the same boat as us.
Yeah, and of course...
It's a shit boat to be...
It is. It is, because the thing is, you know, you were missing and stuff like that, missing action and stuff, but now, obviously, we can't even rehearse. You know, we can't keep things ticking over. But we will do. We will do. We'll get back to it. I'm sure we will do. I mean, you know, I was actually quite jealous of looking at South Korea and stuff, and China the other day. No social distancing at theme parks and swimming and, you know... you know, people can say what they like about it and stuff, but whatever they've done has worked, hasn't it? Or whether they've got the antidote. I didn't
say. Did you say antidote or antichrist?
Take your choice.
Same thing.
For those that don't know, Mr. Watson here, you're not primarily a scarman, are you? Not your history.
No, I come in from punk. Direction. Yeah. Played hardcore for a long time with several bands such as My Rules, Bastard Face. Also did sort of straight up punk, likes of Snide Remarks, yeah. Loaded 44 most recently, and also way back when I did a lot of stoner rock sort of stuff when I had the capacity to grow hair.
I've seen the pictures, I know.
I've always appreciated ska because I'm 50 now. So,
yeah.
1979, I was 10. So I was there when all of those bands started releasing their records, and it really made me stick my ears up and take notice. Prior to that, I listened to a lot of classical music, believe it or not.
Really? Really?
And then when I hit my... Yeah, yes.
Yeah. So what sort of classical...
When I hit double figures...
What classic? Have you got a favourite composer?
Not particularly, no. Although, who did Hall of the Mountain King?
Oh, is it Elgar?
I always enjoyed that one. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's a cracker. Mandelson,
the Planet. Yeah, well, I've got the four LPs. I bought them as a child.
Oh wow.
The four planets.
Yeah.
I can only remember Mars. Because it always reminds me of Star Wars.
Fair enough. Well, we'll take a quick break, lad. We'll take a quick break. Let's have a bit of the specials.
You make me
No,
I was just going to say, you know, you're coming from a punk background and stuff like that. So how have you found it coming into a ska band then? Is it a natural, does it feel like a natural progression of some sort? Because it's fairly relative, isn't it? You know, I mean, also, although punk can be just three chord wonders.
But you know, a lot of the sort of very basic songs in any genre can quite often be the best songs.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of Elvis songs only had four chords.
Yeah, true.
Some of the biggest pop songs, Oasis songs, two or three chords, four chords. But coming into ska was very much a school day for me because technically it was very different to what I was playing. In that there was a lot of technicality.
Yeah.
In that there was a lot of skill involved. And while I had the abilities, I wasn't practiced in that genre at all.
Yeah.
And timings were different and starting points and stopping points and all this and the other. So I very enjoyed very much the learning curve.
Yeah.
And I'm still in that learning curve.
Well, that's great.
Every time we do a new track.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great.
I love a challenge and I like to push myself.
Yeah. Well, go on. Keep going. I'm a twat for interrupting.
I like to be challenged and I like to be pushed. And I think that's the... If you ever get to a point where you think, right, I can do it now, you've lost it.
Yeah.
Every day you're learning something new. And I think if that doesn't continue, you lose, you know, you've lost interest.
Well, I think so. I think it's right.
I like to be interested.
Yeah. You're very interesting. But but you know, I think that's the same for everybody, isn't it? I think, you know, if you're involved in this game, if you're going to stop learning, you know what I mean? It's a mistake to think you've learned everything or you know it all. You know what I mean? And I think, because
definitely. Yeah. Quite arrogant as well.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are, does it? You know what I mean?
A good thing for me is when I first started playing bass when I was in my teens, I learned with my fingers. Because one of my greatest musical heroes is Norman Watt Roy. He plays a lot with his fingers. Yeah. So I would never ever put myself even on the same planet as Norman Watt Roy, but you know, something to aspire to. So I learned initially with my fingers, but then when I got into sort of like playing thrash metal and hardcore punk and stuff like that, you need the drive and the attack you get from a pick.
Yeah.
With the plectrum, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really good coming into this band to be able to go back to fingerstyle, to be able to develop with my fingers.
Almost like a full circle thing.
Yeah, I mean, one or two of the songs we do, I could use a pick if I chose to, but I prefer to use my fingers.
I do think there's a subtlety
especially, you know, if you... Definitely. Yeah. There's a lot more nuance with your fingers.
Absolutely, yeah.
Whereas with a pick, you get a bit more clarity sometimes. One of my friends, very good bass player, he says that people who play with their fingers are wrong because they sound like wet pumps.
I think you find he's wrong.
Rob Buick. I think you'll find... Well, I tell him that every time he says it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's wrong. So what's your favourite scabones that you like to play on the bass?
Sorry, say that again?
What's your favourite scabone strat that you like to play on the bass? Have you got a favourite one that specifically suits you? Or...
Oh, well, I would say when it's gone, it's gone. I like to get into.
Well, that little bass in the middle of that.
Because that's, you know, I like... Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also like Dorian. I like to play Dorian a lot.
Yeah.
You know. But they're all very good in keeping you on your toes. Because one doesn't necessarily follow into another.
Yeah.
If I was putting a set together, I wouldn't necessarily put one next to the other, if you know what I mean.
But it's like somebody once said, you know, what we do with our songs, we're a clever band. And I just said,
yeah.
Seriously? There's nothing clever about it. been clever.
Well, to be fair, they all fit. Yeah, they all fit wherever you put them on the set.
Yeah.
But yeah. My sort of slightly autistic mind would have that song with that one and not with that.
Yeah.
One. But that's never been an issue. It, yeah. It works either way, you know.
It works either way, yeah.
Yeah. But I think my favourite will be When It's Gone, It's Gone.
Excellent. Well, we'll play that. I'm going to play that later on, actually. Going back to what you said about, I think in a previous chat, you were about Norman Watt Roy from the Blockheads, and he is the guy you said who made you want to play bass, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I watched him on a Betamax copy of a copy of a copy of something in the early 80s. It was a Blockheads track. And I just went, look at that little man. He looked about 112 in 1983.
Right. He looks a lot older now. He looks like Tutankhamun now.
Yeah. But he's playing that beautiful gold jazz. That's always stuck in my mind. I believe his wife, or his now wife, bought him that from a market in the early 70s, secondhand.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's right or wrong. I just seem to have that memory. But he makes it seem so easy.
Yeah.
He's so clever in what he does. And, he's played with everybody.
But he's actually...
from the Blockheads.
Yeah. I actually saw him in one of the Madstocks, you know, the big Madness gigs on Finsbury Park. He was playing for Madness.
Well, he's played with them several times, hasn't he?
He has, yeah.
Yeah, he's played with them. He also provided the bass line to, it was a Frankie Goes to Hollywood track. Welcome to the Pleasure Dome, I think it was.
Yeah.
Or Relax, or one of those ones, yeah. And he recorded the bass for that, but they decided to not use it. More fool them. Where are they now?
Yeah. Oh, where are they? That's right. The question. I saw some Frankie Goes to Hollywood footage of them now, actually, not so long back. They don't have Ollie Johnson.
Are they still going, yeah?
Yeah, they don't have Ollie Johnson.
Right.
I think quite a few of the others are missing as well. But they have the guy with the tash.
Yeah.
They sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a big production and stuff, but more of them anyway. But what we'll do now is, because you've expressed an interest in Mr. Norman Watt Roy, we're going to play Ian Dury's What a Waste, one of your choices. Any reason why it's this one? Or is it just
what a phenomenal song.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Simple as that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, back in a minute.
I wouldn't need to worry. I could be a teacher in a classroom full of scholars. I could be the sergeant in a squadron full of wallets. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I chose to play the fool in a six-piece band. First nine nerves, every one-night stand. I should be glad to be so inclined. I could be a lawyer with stratagems and ruses. I could be a doctor with poetesses and bruises. I could be a writer with a growing reputation. I could be the ticket man at Fulham Broadway Station. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste. Because I chose to play the fool in a six-piece band. First night nerves, every one-night stand. I should be glad to be so inclined. What a waste, what a waste. Rock and roll don't mind. Sparks the revolution. I could be an inmate in a long-term institution. I could do the wild extremes. I could do or die. I could yawn and be withdrawn and watch them gallop by. What a waste.
waste. What a waste. What a waste. What a waste.
Was What a Waste, Ian Jury, Mr. Kev Watson's first choice. Obviously, Norman Watt Roy was the man that made you pick up the bass and stuff. Do you play the stuff? Do you play the stuff? Instruments and what have you?
Yeah. Well, I play a bit of guitar. I played guitar with a band called Stovepipe for a while. We didn't do much in the way of live work, but we recorded a couple of EPs.
Cool.
At the bunker in Sunderland.
Yeah.
Just four old mates chewing the fat. And it has that kind of high range twill voice about it. I mean, it was a very good, enjoyable time.
So I haven't picked up a guitar. What year was that then?
God, might have been the turn of the century, young man. Might have been around about 2000,
well.
Somewhere like that.
Do you know what's frightening? What's frightening is I still think 1999 was quite close. It's not anymore, is it? When someone says,
"Oh yeah, me too."
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I try.
Mm-hmm. What's
that? Oh, it's like.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's just a weird thing as you get older. I don't know, this time the time thing gets very strange. You know, I mean, when I was a kid. The days were longer, but now they're a little bit shorter now. More, I don't know if that means because you're getting older and more, you're getting nearer to your fucking grave or not. I don't know.
Summers are warmer and winters are warmer too. You know, gone are the days where you'd hike to school with a snow up to your chest.
And that's not a lie, is it? That's not rose tinted glasses.
Not a lie.
definitely not. Getting to school and the school boiler's knackered, so you go home. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, you don't get any of that, do you?
Go on, because the heat is off, you big soft tart.
Shows your times have changed, though, when you've got, like, we got sent home because it was snowing, and the kids are getting sent home now because there's a deadly virus running around the country.
Bloody lightweights,
aye.
But in my day...
we had snow and bloody viruses.
We just walked it off. We're from the north.
We are. Thick coat, get out.
I definitely.
I know, because we've been chatting a bit and stuff about music venues, obviously, because they've been shut, haven't they, for a long time. And we've both, and you've mentioned it to me, and I mentioned to you about the one in the northeast that are closing. And I found out the other day we lost, was it the Live Lounge in Sunderland, Trimmer's Arms, the Brewery Tap Gates, and they're big ones. But apparently, even. I've heard that about 11 social clubs that put gigs on regularly have closed as well. Social clubs. I mean, what's that all about?
I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't played many social clubs. It's a pretty tight-knit community, the music scene in social clubs. It's a difficult circuit to get on.
Yeah, and we once did it and they said, can you have a break? Fuck bingo. The dreaded word. So we did.
Can you hang on, lad? The fish man wants to come around and sell some crab sticks.
Yeah, you got any crabs on your cup? yeah, I used to shout that quite a lot. But no, it's, you know, used to, and The bingo went on for a fucking hour. So we had an hour set. We had another hour set to go, and the bingo was a fucking hour. So there was no point after that. Do you know what I mean? I just wanted to go home. Yeah. So I try and stay away from them, but it's not the point, is it? The point is that they still do put on music, you know, and quite regularly and stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And if you, even if you lose them,
it's
sort of
thing, it's a tricky situation.
Mm, it is.
Yeah. It's if this continues for a period of months, which I suspect it will do, I think we're going to lose more than a fair proportion of our grassroots venues. And even some of the bigger ones are struggling. If you look at the Academy chain, for instance, they haven't opened their doors since March.
No.
And their entire reason for being is live music.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing else. You know,
they can't even put a disco on.
No,
exactly.
Yeah.
So what we'll find this time next year, I'm kind of hoping we'll be up and running to an extent by next year, but when?
Well, the thing is, I was thinking about that, and you know, with the in the past, I've had the SARS thing over in Asia, and the MERS thing and stuff, and they have dissipated within 7 months. Do you know what I mean? And if you look at China now, and
that's it.
It's doable. It's absolutely doable if it's done right. You know, and you know,
the difficulty we have now though is we've gone straight into flu season. So the headlines, the scare lines, as I like to call them, is saying the hospitals are overrun and there's no beds. And the former head of, Scottish Health had said that this time of year they would say that prior to this year.
Yeah, yeah.
Every year the beds get scarce because flu season, you know.
Yeah.
That's not to detract in any way from what we're living through, but that's just the cold hard facts of it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, my other worry as well, going back to the venues closing stuff, is the fact that is there going to be money to pay bands or what they would normally be paid? You know, because it's a question, isn't it? You know, and these twats in charge of giving this money out and stuff, but not everybody got any money, you know. I mean, it's great to see the forum.
No, it's a friend of mine in Leckie.
Yeah. The forum got paid.
Yeah, a good friend of mine, Leckie, who's the singer with a famous hardcore band called The Voorhees. He runs a DIY venue in Leeds called Boom.
Yeah.
Formerly the Temple of Boom. Ooh. And it's a marvellous, marvellous place. I've played there several times in various bands.
Yeah.
And it's a proper DIY venue. You go in. You can either buy beer from them, or it's a straight edge night or whatever. And basically, that's your room. That's your room. It used to be an abattoir, I believe, or something like that. One of the rooms is the abattoir room.
Oh, wow.
And everyone should check out and help the Boom and everyone else, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was saying that, hey, they didn't get a penny from this money that was released for venues because they said they didn't qualify for it.
See, it's crazy.
I don't know why.
No, I mean,
but DIY venues are the ones we need to be protecting, because otherwise there will be no future.
Well, the thing is, where are you going to see the bands that the famous people are yet of the next generation? You know, they've got to start somewhere, haven't they? And it's them types of venues where they play.
Oh, exactly.
You know.
Anyway,
enough of that. I'll tell you what. Let's cheer ourselves up some more of your musical choices, Mr. Watson.
Oh yes, let's.
Right, China Drums Pictures. I know fuck all about these. Explain it.
China Drum are a local band in Northumberland, and they should have been the biggest punk band in the world because they were phenomenal. Still are. A couple of albums out in the 90s, of which this one is from.
You're frozen.
All time. What's that?
Oh, sorry, you froze. You went off then. Just try again. The wonders of technology.
The one. Yeah, no. No, they're just a fantastic, melodic, powerful band. The singer developed MS years ago. Used to be the drummer and the singer.
Right.
But had to get a young lady in to do the drums, who's absolutely phenomenal. So he just went straight onto pure vocals. And every year they do an annual gig at the Clooney in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And
another great venue.
Because he has problems with his yard, mint. I love playing there. So the last year they played, he had to sit down. You know what it is? His voice is brilliant. Cock on. That year, last New Year, there I am, right near the front, maybe 10 feet from the front, roughly. And there was a guy, a few guys, stage diving. And one of them jumped off the stage, feet first, straight into my chest. Oh. And the pair of us clattered through the emergency exit into the bar, where all the middle-class white wine spritzer types were drinking. And I just barged through everybody. And I'm lying flat on my back with this guy on my chest. And there's red wine everywhere and people in cravats screaming. And I was like, the band had noticed and just continued on. Yeah, it'd be great.
Just another night out with Kev Watson, isn't it?
So that was a very good night. Ah, oh, well, you know, it can be calamitous, as you well know.
I do. Yeah, yeah. I'm in the car, we're in freezing conditions. We were close. We were close. Anyway, right. I'm going to play that track now. Down. So this is China Drums from Northumberland, you say? Is it Northumberland?
Yeah.
Yeah. With Pictures.
Yeah.
Your friends without a confrontation, makes you walking with yourself without a complication. I know you're running from me. I know taking all my time, taking all my side, taking all my pride, taking sleeping in your bed without a tug of war, and you're drinking with your friends. I know you're running from me. I know you're taking all my time, taking all my shine, you're taking all my pride, taking everything.
Right, so that's China Drums and Pictures from Mr. Kev Watson, bass guitarist of the Scapones. Right. How's your week been?
Well, it's Tuesday, and I already wish it was Friday, but that's work for you.
Do you know what? It probably does, yeah. Because I've just realised it's on a Tuesday. I keep thinking it's later in the week.
Yeah. Oh, wishful thankful.
So how are you keeping yourself?
Wishful thinking.
How are you keeping yourself busy when you're locked down? What are you doing?
Well, at the minute, I'm building a bar. I'm building a beer house.
Which is very popular at the moment.
You've seen the frame.
I have seen a firm, yeah.
Yeah. The difficulty is, it's very popular at the minute, so I can't get any fucking materials. But I will.
Typical, isn't it?
So I'm doing that when I can. And in the meantime, remember that bass I just bought recently, that yeah. Fender Telecaster?
Yeah.
I've got that in 1,000 bits in a minute, at the minute.
What are you doing?
I'm doing that up. New pickup in it. New pickup. Well, yeah. I'm just going to renew everything that can be renewed.
Right.
And then I'm going to have a go at refinishing a bass myself. I've never painted a bass before.
That'd be good. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Something to be proud of if you've got a nice machine going, isn't it? You know what I mean? I wouldn't know where to bloody start, to be honest.
Well, I've got a compressor. I've got a paint gun. I've painted bikes and cars and things like that in the past to a greater or lesser extent. So I think it's only a bit of wood. If it's shite,
that's the way to look at it. That's the way to look at it. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Let's have a look at one of your other tracks here. What we got? Ah, what a track this is. Stiff Little Fingers, Alternative
Ultra. I didn't choose Al Harmony.
Well, you did, but I've crossed it off the list. I'm not playing Take On Me.
Fantastic song.
Yeah.
Stiff Little Fingers. Lisa, he's not going to play it.
I'm in trouble with his missus now.
Stiff Little Fingers.
Yeah.
Another teenage eye-opening moment, you know, when I discovered them.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. And I've had the pleasure of playing with Henry Clooney and Jim Riley many times in their band XSLF. They were the original guitarist and drummer. Yeah. Super chaps, absolutely brilliant. And their bass player, Avi Sarian, he's a phenomenal guitarist who also is a phenomenal bass player. Yeah. Don't you hear talented people?
Yeah, I do.
But they work very well together. When I was in Snide Remarks, we played very many gigs with XSLF, and every one of them was hilarious. I don't like spirits. I don't do spirits at all.
Yeah.
And we played a place, Blythe, I think it was, and we played a very good gig and lots of free beer. I can do beer. So I'm drinking beer. End of the set. Avi, I'm sat in the bar. Everyone's gone home now. We're just having a drink with the landlord. And he plonks two bottles of Bell's down in front of us. And Avi says, "You'll be having a drink, Kev." I went, "No." "Oh, but you'll have your, you know, the whole Father Ted routine."
Yeah.
I went, No, I don't do whiskey. "You'll have one." I says, "Right, I'll have one." I was poured out of the van. And luckily my younger son looked out of his bedroom to find me sprawled out on the grass, bass over there, amp over there. Oh, God knows how long I've been there. Well, I was paralytic.
Do you know, whiskey does that same to me. Keep well away from it. I bet we did
a bottle each. And it's not big and it's not clear.
No, it's not. I can drink gin, no problems. I'll feel terrible for 3 days after, but I can drink as much of that as I can. But whiskey, it sends me a bit to doolally, I think.
No.
You know, it's when I get...
I could have a Jack Daniels and Coke at the end of the night, but that's it.
Yeah. Right, so...
I'm not much of a spirit drinker.
Is what you know? I mean, I do prefer the beer, like, you know what I mean? But a beer, the Moretti. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right.
It's always Moretti time.
Moretti time, baby. Friday night comes. So all kinds of also Stiff Little Fingers. Little Jake Burns, who I know a little bit, actually played or specialised on a track with Roddy Radiation and Nick Welsh. Did you know that? Yeah. Called Get Special.
Oh, yeah.
Put his guitar on it and stuff. So a little bit of a connection with him there. So anyway, this is Alternative Ulster. This is Stiff Little Fingers.
You're listening to the Scarpones Sound Off podcast. Get some Northeast Scar.
Right, we're back. We're back. We're back in the room. Stiff little fingers
hello,
on.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. How you doing? With Kev Watson, one of the quiet ones, and me. And so.
Yeah, the other quiet one.
Never a dull moment. Well, we say that. Probably fucking, we're boring to death, probably.
Yeah, likely. They're right in, mind. They're right in. Why, oh, why, oh, why?
You're disgruntled of Darlington. So,
Dear, both of you.
So you've done a lot of touring and stuff, haven't you? And stuff like that, in your times and stuff like that. Have you got any good stories? Have you got any, you know, one or two stories that you can share that are really, or that you can share?
Well, I remember we played somewhere in Dublin with Loaded 44.
Yeah.
It was the night Conor McGregor was fighting that boxer. I'll give you a timeline.
Yeah.
Right. And I forget the name of the place now. It was a massive place off Temple Bar somewhere. Anyway, we got there, and first pint was €5.50. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, I only ever have two before I go on stage. I might have another one while I'm on stage.
Yeah.
But that's it. So I bought 2 pints, and away I went. And we came off stage an hour later. So we're on stage, and the place is full of ladies. Ooh, hello, bass player. Do you know what it is? The only cool one at the back. Don't laugh, that's what they did.
I'm laughing.
They only had eyes for Becky, the singer from Loaded 44, right?
Yeah.
They were kissing her boots and hugging her legs and all kinds. Me and Dave, the guitar player, was putting all his best moves on. And so was I, I'll be honest. But no.
Nothing.
Yeah. So we came off stage and I said, right, oh, we'll just drink some beer then. It had gone up to €7 a pint. And I think by the end of the night, it was nearly €12 a pint.
Jesus.
They just kept going up incrementally. And that's perfectly normal in Dublin.
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah. But we were staying in a doss house, a bunk house in the Temple Bar. And we had 2 hours sleep before we had to get from Dublin to Belfast to get the plane home. Why we didn't fly from Dublin, I don't know. But it was, I think we had moments, and I mean moments left before we wouldn't get home.
It reminds me of when we were on tour in America last year, you know, because that was just mental. That was, you know, America is not small, so you go to a gig 4 hours away. You know what I mean? That's near. And then you would do set up, which takes you and 06 a while. And you sat around for a bit, do your gig, and you got to travel back. You know, we would literally get 2 hours sleep and then have to get up for the airplane. And how we did it, I will never know, but we did it. I think it's just adrenaline. Oh, you know,
crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
Definitely. I remember we did an Italian tour. And we played, I'm not sure if I've got these places right, we played Milan, Turin, Vercelli, and there might have been another place, I can't remember. But anyway, we never went on stage before 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And it was crazy hot. Yeah. So we played Milan, and Dario, who was the organizer, points down the street. He says, we go to an Irish bar after the gig. Brilliant. Class. We're into this. So we went on about 2 o'clock in the morning, played 45 minutes to an hour, something like that. And we came out and you're wringing wet. It was that hot. Anyway, there's the bus. The bus. I says, well, I thought we were going to an Irish bar. Yes, Irish bar. So he piles into this bus, and we all fell asleep. Woke up, and 2 hours later, we're still driving, and we finally got to this place in the middle of nowhere. It was a proper, like the titty twister.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh dear.
In the middle of nothing in Backwater, Italy. We walked into this huge single-story building, and it was, you had death metal over in that corner, you had dance music over at the far end,
yeah.
In the middle you had kind of a chatty area, if you had a voice like Brian Blessed and ears like a bat and dry ice and very white, bright lights or shining everywhere. All right. This is 5 o'clock in the morning now.
As you do.
And then these shots came out green. Shots should not generate their own light, but these did.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So Dario says, you're Scottish, you like Guinness. Right, yes, I'll go with that. He brought me a litre of Guinness. He went, can you do down in one? No. Definitely not. No. Have you ever tried holding a litre of Guinness? It's quite difficult.
I don't know, when I was younger, when I was about 18, I did the Yard of Ale once, right?
Oh,
and the Yard of Ale? Yeah.
All about how you twist the glass, isn't it?
Yeah, and the big, it's got a big round bottom, hasn't it? And this tall sort of vase neck sort of thing. And I absolutely spew my ring up straight after, because it's heavy duty stuff. You know?
Straight down, straight up.
Oh, I didn't pay for it, so I wasn't too fussed. But anything like that, you know. I mean, I have mates who...
When I played rugby, you know.
Yeah. Rugby?
When I played rugby, I got what they used to call twat of the match. I was a number four, so I was the one that they would throw up in the air to catch the ball.
Yeah.
And someone clattered me.
Yeah.
And I turned around and clattered him back. Just as the ref turned around, saw me clatter, down he went, and I got sin binned for 5 minutes and won twat of the match. And my penance was to drink 2 pints of Guinness through about 5 yards of inch garden hose.
Oh my God.
It's very nearly impossible.
Yeah. Oh.
You like that?
Jesus. Did you get through it?
Wasn't clean garden hose either, mate. It was just
what did you get through it?
I don't think I managed all of it.
No. I wouldn't blame you.
It's impossible.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, you know, drinking's a big in the English culture anyway. But, you know, even when we were, you know, especially up north, I think, where we have proper beer. And, and it's funny because when we were kids and stuff, you know, we used to, it's funny how your taste changed. You know what I think? I mean, I don't know what you were like, but we always start, you start on a bit of cider. Well, I didn't. It started out on cider because it was like pop. So, and then, you know.
That's what the ladies drink.
It tasted nice, Dad, you know. but then you obviously you go into like your beers and stuff like that, and then your lagers and stuff like that, and you get a bit of shots and stuff. But when I used to go out drinking all the time around the towns in York and that, like I used to drink John Smith Extra and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
Which is lush, isn't it? I love it. And
why? Do you know why? It's because it's the same in every pub you're going.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. You know, and. And I mean, it's like, because I look at my young lads now and their drinking culture is completely a bit different to ours. You know, they're having black sambuca.
Well, I find with my kids who are, my eldest lad, he's coming up 22.
Yeah.
Him and his pals would much rather go to a calf. Like, what's wrong with these kids?
Do you know what? They're missing out
culture. I'm like, no. Get out there and I get 10 pints down you or you're grounded.
You're coming out with me tonight. Right, I'll tell you what, you've got another song.
I generally stick with it.
You do, yeah, though, no, yeah. Right, you've got another song in. Now, this is interesting, and I'm sure some people know it, but Do Nothing by Snuff, though. By Snuff.
By Snuff, yes.
Now, did you know the track
Most people who don't know the... Sorry?
Did you know the track? Did you know the track Do Nothing prior to the Snuff doing it?
Oh yes, Specials track. Yes.
Yeah.
Aye.
Interesting choice. I remember hearing this years ago.
Well, it was a toss up. It was either that or Duncan Redman's other band, Guns and Wankers, and that's genuine.
It's fine. It's a podcast. You can absolutely say what you want.
Well, it's true. Duncan Redman, where we used to be pals back in the 90s when I used to knock around with bands like Leatherface and Blackers IT and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? Used to go to their gigs and whatever. And he's now and has been for a long while the drummer in the Toy Dolls, as well as Snuff.
Yeah.
And other bands like Billy No Mates and Guns and Wankers, like I say. And it's just a very good, powerful, melodic punk songs, but he has a brass section.
All right.
He even has a theremin player in some of the songs.
Oh, it sounds like Alex Weir from Big Fat Panda. Really? Yeah, he does that. Yeah.
So he's the drummer and he's also the singer. And I think anyone who can drum and sing to any kind of standard is phenomenal.
Even Phil Collins.
I can't do either. And I can do. Well, he doesn't count. No, he's a very good singer and a very good drummer as well. But they Snuff got to quite heady heights in the 90s in the sort of non-pop world, if you like, the alternative world.
It did, yeah.
And I always do like listening to Duncan's voice. They do a lot of covers their way, and this is one of them.
Great.
And I chucked this one in because I figured it would resonate with several people. 90% of people who haven't heard this will go, Willow, what the fuck are you playing? That's shite.
You said that anyway. But yeah, because a lot of people don't realise that Bad Manners actually done that as well. They've covered Do Nothing. No one really knows that.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
Quite a heavy version. So whether they were copying the Snuff one, I'm not sure. It's quite heavy guitar.
I don't know, to be honest. I don't know.
Right, so here we go.
You're done.
Snuff, and this is Do Nout. Oh, sorry, Do Nothing. Well, it's been nice chatting to my son since we can't meet in person at the moment and stuff like that.
Yes, lovely to chat to you as well.
And my darling, I will edit this and then you can share it about later on, can't you? And stuff like that. It should be going live.
Okay, don't
Friday,
be darling.
So,
right.
So thank you very much, Mr. Kev Watson. And that's it. This is the end of the Scapone.
You're more than welcome, Mr. Willow.
Thank you very much indeed. This is the end of the first episode of the Scapone's Sound Off.
All about the bass.
You are.
He's a, I said it's all about the bass.
It's all about the bass. No treble. Catch you later, mate. Thanks very much. Ta-da.
Hello. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Before it's too late, 'cause once
getting you down. The news depressing you. Get a load of the Scapone Sound Off podcast now.